The end of the smartphone era is coming. That's a headline we recently spotted on businessinsider.com. The proclamation belies the onward to the future flavored marketing for the Samsung Galaxy, the iPhone 5, and the new generation of Windows phones. Here to expand on the confounding headline and to reconsider our attachment to the smartphone as our primary connection to the internet is Rob Fleischman, computer scientist and word of mouth explainer of all things wired and gadget related. Rob, great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Virginia. It's always great to be here.
The end of smartphones, how can this possibly be?
Well, maybe we're looking at the dawn of wearable computers. I remember a long time ago back at MIT, there were a number of students walking around campus wearing these giant backpack-enabled wearable computers. And that's what companies like Google, Microsoft, and Apple are talking about. There's some great video on the web about Google's Project Glass. There's been some fashion shows with runway models wearing them. It's quite interesting, you know.
Wait, wearing them?
That's
how?
Right.
Around their heads?
That's right. These are fancy eyeglasses, you know. And look at today. We have all these smartphones. They're getting closer and closer to our faces. They're all blinged up with fashion. You know, you can buy different covers. So the transition to a wearable computer, maybe a fancy set of shades, is not a hard leap. And the technology's gotten so small that, you know, most of the computing can fit behind your ear. They're GPS enabled. They'll have video. It's going to be wonderful. I mean, the Google Glass demo videos, which you can see online, are, you know, they're somewhat compelling.
We have been seeing sneak peeks of these little Google Glass videos. But what is the difference between what Microsoft is working on and the Google Glasses?
Well, if you look at the patents and, you know, the small trickle of information you can get on these devices, the distinguishing qualities between them are small. But they could be significant. Google's Glass project is mostly about a monitor, you know, a small computer screen kind of in the upper left corner of your eye. So you'll look around at the world normally, but when you peek in the upper left, it's kind of like having a video screen up there. People like Microsoft and by conjecture, I think Apple, are really looking at what you call augmented reality, more like the heads-up displays fighter pilots see. So what I mean by that is they overlay the world with graphics. So I'll be looking at you, and it might, you know, put your name over your head, so I remember that your name's Virginia Prescott. And that's a subtle difference, but it's significant. And if you look at the patents, Microsoft's patent is about live delivery of information to head-mounted displays. Apple's patent is about a dual projector patent, talking about making it so you have a very large field of view through these glasses. But, you know, when you think about this class, what's neat about it is that, you know, I already mentioned fashion. You know, everyone wants to look different.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, how are you going to have different glasses every day if you have to have a computer in
there? Yeah, well, maybe you will. And you know, there's other interesting things. For example, there's obvious uses for people in law enforcement, police, being able to record everything they see, being able to remotely display that back to a home base. We already have that for law enforcement in cars, but imagine if the officers are all wearing it. That would be really advantageous. You know, even to things like people doing assessments or appraisals of property, all sorts of legal applications, and also for home, things like, you know, a second TV screen. You know, you're watching TV, but then there's a second screen that only you can see.
Yeah, everyone's watching two screens at the same time anyway. Okay, so that's sort of in the future, it looks
sure,
like.
Sure, sure.
Even though I can't imagine people not walking around with their phones in front of their faces anymore, a couple of things that are happening right now. First of all, we had the Microsoft rolled out Windows 8 with great marketing blitz, kind of landing with a little bit of a whimper. But I'm curious about the new Microsoft tablet, the Surface. What about it?
Well, you know, what's interesting here is Microsoft, as you said, released Windows 8. And it's certainly a powerful operating system. It's very good. The problem with it is when you have large businesses with thousands of desktop computers, none of which have touchscreen displays, Windows 8 just isn't compelling. You know, it's a great operating system that tries to blend the desktop and the touchscreen. So when you try and do two things and you have two masters, sometimes you don't do either particularly well. But Microsoft's making a really great attack there. But it's just not compelling for people who have desktops without those screens. Now, for new purchases of tablets or laptops, Windows 8 is going to be the way to go. Now, you mentioned the Surface. The Surface is a really nice tablet. I've seen them. I've seen the Windows RT version and the 8 the version with Windows 8 comes out early 2013. Great tablet. Problem with the Surface is Microsoft's really late to the game. This is their first shot going into hardware. It's an expensive device.
How much?
It's in the $500 range.
So a little less than an iPad. Standard.
Yes, but, you know, it depends on the iPad you buy. Of course, there are some iPads that are less expensive. But again, it's not a low-cost tablet by any means. And the challenge here is that, you know, the revelation of including a keyboard is not really a great revelation. I mean, you can get yourself a Bluetooth keyboard for an Apple iPad. You've been able to do that for a long time. So it's a real challenge. I think the Surface, you know, has an uphill battle. I don't think it's selling well at the moment. But, you know, if you're a Microsoft devotee, if you have a Microsoft shop, boy, the Surface is going to be very compelling for you.
Okay, so just in time for Christmas, Apple has come out with the iPad Mini. One of my colleagues, actually, who is going to remain anonymous for obvious gifty reasons, has a couple in a desk drawer. Looks exactly like an iPad, but smaller. I mean, we all sat around and said, oh, it's so cute. How is it innovative?
Well, I have a bold opinion on this one. I think that the Mini.
You, bold opinion
well,
on it.
Yeah, I always have bold opinion. None of them are right, but, you know. So my take is the Mini is really the form factor of choice. The smaller tablets, I think, are great. There's an old saying, a photographer saying, that says, the best camera is the one you happen to have. The larger tablets are terrific for at home, at work. I think that everyone who asks me, I need a new computer, I say, get yourself a full-size tablet. Because my belief is they replace all the laptops and desktops. But for the people who are on the go, who are going back and forth to work or commuting or on a plane, the mini size, those 7-inch things, and whether it's the iPad Mini or whether it's a Kindle device or a Nook device, I think that's the form factor choice for the future. Mm-hmm. It's big enough, much bigger than a phone, but small enough that you can put it in a large pocket or a purse or, a backpack.
I've got about a minute left wondering if you've got some big picks for gadgets for gift giving.
This season, in terms of technology, there's two ways to go. It's the gaming platforms, you know, whether you're talking about the Wii U from Nintendo.
Right, or completely wireless.
Completely wireless. Wonderful device, really innovative. I'm really going to be excited to see what comes down the pipeline there. Or the tablet space. I mean, those are the go-to gifts, I think. And there's a lot of choices. It's a great time to be a consumer in these spaces. Great pricing, from budget all the way up to high end.
Okay. Any Rob Fleischman particularly cravings for Christmas?
I'd like a new pair of slippers.
Rob Fleischman is a computer scientist and chief technology officer at Zero Coal and our favorite explainer of all things slipper-like. Rob, again, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Virginia. Always great to be here.
And we'd love to hear from you. Would you give up your smartphone for a pair of wearable digital glasses? Which tech toys are you hoping to get for the holidays? Or give. You can join the conversation taking place right now. It's on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. Coming up, a modern biography of fame, Globe film critic Ty Burr on how the mighty have fallen when Word of Mouth continues.